It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are moving into the long and warm days of August. We've had a really mild August so far. I haven't suffered too greatly at the hands of the weatherman. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm enjoying every day that comes along like this one. It's right now sunny, slightly foggy, but very nice in the Grand Rapids area. Very nice temperatures. Those temperatures and that sun and just the general rotation of the earth around that sun have brought us to the season when fruits are ripening, and there is a lot of stuff to talk about. Choke cherries. I observed some choke cherries yesterday. Ate one just out of spite, I guess. Actually, the berry itself was pretty sweet, but there's something about eating choke cherry that, for those of you who are native northern Minnesotans, if you've ever eaten deer tallow, you know that it kind of coats the inside of your mouth. It makes you feel like you got, I don't know, a layer of fuzz between you and everything else that's in your mouth. Well, that's what choke cherries do. And they were up, they lived up to their name. They supplied me with everything I expected of them. A little bit of sweetness and a lot of fuzz inside my mouth. They do make an excellent cordial, I've been told. And actually I have sampled some choke cherry wine. And you can also use choke cherries in a cordial where you would take grain alcohol and mix it with a little distilled water and add your choke cherries and let it sit for 6 months. And you'd have a pretty decent little sipping after dinner drink there. Not exactly choke cherry brandy, but not bad. Among other plants that are ripe right now, blueberries, raspberries and blackberries, those are all edible. The blackberries are just getting ripe. The raspberries are getting toward the end of their ripeness. There is fruit drop from the raspberries. So if you're in a raspberry patch, look at the ground beneath the plants and you'll see that there are lots of raspberries that have fallen off the plants and are putting their seeds back in the ground for next year. Pardon me. Among the non-edible but ripe fruits, baneberry. The round leaf dogwoods are approaching ripeness. They're not yet ripe, but gosh, I can't think of anything more beautiful than the round leaf dogwoods. They are bright green right now. They're a deep, deep green, and the structure holding up the fruits is bright red. So it's easy to pick out. And then if you get in close and you look at the fruits, they range in color from kind of a very, very pale, pale green to white to starting to come on almost sky blue. And as those round-leaved dogwoods go into fall, those leaves are going to shift from that dark green to a beautiful burgundy, and then they are absolutely stunning. They just keep getting prettier and prettier every day. So find a patch of round-leaf dogwood near you and keep your eye on it. It won't be disappointing. It is one of the real true beauties of northern Minnesota. Cranberries, I can look out the window here and see clusters of bright red berries on the cranberries. As far as I'm concerned, cranberries never get ripe. I've heard it said that if there's a frost that they'll actually get sweeter, but getting sweeter from where they start is like, wow, they got a long way to go to be sweet. They're pretty sour even in midwinter if you can find one and manage to put it in your mouth and get it down. They're not what I would call an edible fruit. The birds seem to like them, but not so much that they're going to dive right in and start eating. Now, birds have the same habits as humans. They know which berries are tasty. That's why there are no June berries around. They've eaten all of those. They'll eat all the blueberries they can stuff in their mouths. They'll eat all the raspberries they can grab. They'll eat the blackberries. All of those berries that we like, they like, and they're early to get them, and they eat them with relish. And as the season marches on, they begin to eat other berries that aren't as palatable, among them the Northern Holly, and eventually in some years the cranberry, although there have been years where the cranberry berries have remained on the bushes all winter and have not been consumed. So there are even birds have standards, I guess, which encourages me. I noticed a couple things for you spruce scientists as you're headed up to the swamp this morning. Check out some of the heated chambers, and you'll see that there are a few Labrador tea that are in bloom, and a blueberry or two that are blooming, and even I found a bog laurel last week in bloom. So there's some flowers that are out of sync with nature in those heated plots up at Spruce, and it's kind of interesting to look at those. And speaking of out of sync, although they're not, I wish they were, but the red maples, there are red maples that have begun to fleck. That is, they are taking on that red color of fall. Some are just, you know, those students, you remember when you were in school, there were the A students, and then there were the B students, and then the bell curve started to rise up, and then there were all those C students, which is where I was, and then sliding down the backside, there's the D students, and then there's that small edge of the bell curve that goes way out to the far right, and those were the F students. And you know where you fell on that curve, and the maples fall on that same curve. We are looking at, I don't know, you know, maybe the curve is flipped. Maybe those maples that are flecking right now are the F students, and maybe those that are red in early October will be the A students. But suffice it to say that they have begun to turn red, and it will only intensify over the next month and a half. It'll be about 5 weeks from now when we hit our peak of color, maybe 6 weeks, depending on how the weather runs, but we'll be 6 weeks out. We should be closing in on our peak color for maples. Among the flowers this week, I saw the last of the St. John's worts in bloom. I saw purple-fringed orchids in bloom. Purple-stemmed asters up at Laurentian. I had a good look at them. They differ from the northern heart-leaved aster, both in the leaf shape. The northern or the purple-stemmed aster, the leaf kind of clasps the stem a little bit, and the entire stem, though it is quite purple, has a kind of a whitish bloom, a sort of a white hairs all the way up and down the stem on the purple stemmed asters, and they were doing real well up at Laurentian, so they're blooming right along. Agrimony, one of those plants that has these little almost funnel-shaped burrs that get hooked up in your clothing. If you're a hunter, a grouse hunter, or a duck hunter, you'll run into agrimony come fall. You'll find these little funnel-shaped burrs stuck to your clothing, and those are the seeds of the agrimony plant. It is sort of at the end of its bloom for the year, and the burrs are developing quite nicely. Blue vervain is blooming quite well. Giant blue hyssop is blooming as well. Monarda outside our window here at KAXE is probably at its peak or approaching its peak of bloom. Gray goldenrod, I talked about it last week, and it is now in bloom. You can see it just about everywhere. This is one that's pretty easy to identify. The gray goldenrod, the flower head is like a bottle brush. It doesn't spread out the way the other goldenrods do. It's quite contained and quite central to the stem. So you get this bottle brush type of a blossom, and it's usually slightly crooked. It's not straight up. It's usually slightly bent in one direction or another. And it looks a bit, you know, take your index finger and just curl it ever so slightly. And then magnify that by a factor of, two or three. And you're looking at what a gray goldenrod blossom would look like. Cover that finger with dozens of bright yellow flowers, tiny yellow flowers, and that is your gray goldenrod, and it's in bloom right now, so you won't have any trouble finding that. And while I was up at Laurentian, a couple of Civilian Conservation Corps members came in with a picture of a flower, and they said, "We found this orchid in the swamp." And I looked at it, and I right away I knew it wasn't an orchid, but I didn't recognize the flower. And so they went back into the swamp just about dark and brought back one of the flowers, and it turns out that it was a plant I had not seen before. It's called naked bladderwort, or hooked bladderwort, and it's a beautiful yellow flower. No leaves on the stem. The leaves actually are underground. Get that. I mean, they're in buried in the mud are the leaves, and then the stem is covered with these little bladders, these little air pockets, airbags that sort of help keep the thing afloat. But check out naked bladderwort. Do a search online and check out naked bladderwort. It's a really interesting flower, a beautiful yellow flower. So check that out. Animals this week, lots of visions of deer, a lot of fawns out there with still wearing their spots. I haven't seen a fawn without spots yet. That'll happen probably later this month. I was driving in early one morning this past week. The sun was just coming up. There was fog all covering the fields along Blue Heron Drive. And out in the middle of that fog, silhouetted against the sun, was this buck. And you could see his antlers. They were so large and thick. They're, of course, covered in velvet yet, but this fellow has a nice rack going, and he'll be well sought after come deer hunting season. Not by me. I'd rather eat a fawn, but somebody will want to shoot that big fellow. Bluebirds are starting to gather on power lines. Red-winged blackbirds and grackles are forming large flocks. You'll find them in your yards and here and there in the area. So keep an eye out. There's lots going on. That's our phenology show for this week. Thank you for tuning in. As always, if you have observations to share, comments to make, questions to ask, we'd love to hear from you.